Okay, we're beginning here, Lamed Amud Aleph, with the third perek. This perek is actually constituted of only Mishnayot. There is no Gemara on this perek. And it begins, Amar Lehen Amimuneh, Bo Vipisu. Remember, they had gone down to the Lishkata Gazit after they had finished the preliminary Avodot in the Mikdash. And now they go down to Lishkata Gazit for another lot, Mia Shochet. So the lots here determined who was the Shochet, who shechted the Korban HaTamid, Mizorek, who does the Zrikat Adam, included in that Zrikat Adam is the Kabbalat Adam and the Zrikat Adam, since the Kabbalah is just the preliminary process to get the Zrikat Adam, Mi Midashin Mizbeach HaPnimi, who clears off the internal Mizbeach, Mizbeach Zahav, Mi Midashin et HaMenorah, who cleans out the Menorah, Mi Ma'ale Evarim LaKevish, and who takes the limbs of the Tamid onto the ramp. We're going to see later on in the next parak that they left them on the ramp. They went back to Lishkat HaGazit to say Kriyat Shema. Then afterwards they brought them onto the Mizbeach. At this point it's for those that are Zocheh to move them from the Beit HaMitbachayim, where they cut up the Karban Olah, and they move it onto the ramp. The parts are Harosh, Varegel Shoyamin, an individual gets the, one person is going to take the head and the right leg, Ushteya Daim, the next person will take the two arms, two forelegs, seven will take Oketz, Varegel Shoshmo, he'll take the left hind leg, as well as the hind quarters, Hachazeh, the next individual will take the chest and the throat, the swallowing system, which includes within it the neck, and attached to it will be the kaneh, the lave, and the major internal organs that go with it. And then you have the two sides of the animal. Then you have kirvayim, the internal intestines and fats. Basolet is the fine flour that was used for the mincha that came along with the korban tamid with the olah. Chavitin is number 12, and that's the chavitei kohen gadol that were brought machatzita b'boker, machatzita b'erev. Vayayin, and the wine is for the libations that were brought, the yayin, the nisachim that were brought along with the olah. So you have 13 individuals, 13 kohanim over here that are doing or involved in this lot that is being done. Here, the Mishnah doesn't describe, neither no Gemara, but back in Yoma, when they discussed the lots in Yoma, over there, the Gemara discusses how they did it, which is that they used to come around in a circle, and the Mimuneh used to take one of the Kohanim to take his hat off, his mitznefet off. That was one of the reasons we saw before that they didn't want to do it directly in the Azara, because he would have his head uncovered inside the Azara. And number two is, if you're in a circle, some of the people would have their backs to the Kodesh or Kodeshim, so that's why they did it in areas that were Kodesh, but not in the Azara itself. That's why they went to Lishkat HaGazit. So standing around in a circle, he took off the hat of one of the Kohanim and says, everybody throw your finger in, one or two fingers in. Then the Mimuneh picks a large number, and he basically counts around based on the fingers that you have extended until he lands on someone, starting from the one who had his hat off. And wherever he lands on is the first one to be Zocheh. That person's Zocheh. And then after him, the next
12
people to his right are Zocheh along with him. And that there's only one lot that was thrown. Here's a machloket about what the first Kohen got. According to our Mishnah, the first Kohen got the Shechita. Even though Shechita is kosher bizarre, nevertheless, since it was the beginning of the process of Korban Tamid, they considered it to be Chashuv and they gave it to a Kohen. So then for the first one was the Shochet. Others say that no, the one who won the Pious got to do Zrikat Adam, which is the Ikar part of the Korban Tamid. Just the Mishnah gives you the order of the Avodot that were done. But the first one to win the lot actually did Zrika. The one after him did the Shkita. Nevertheless, there are 13 Kohanim over here that are Zochet to do Avodot. The way we have it listed, you can see it's the Shochet is one. Zorek, who does also the Kabbalah, is two. Medashen Mizbeach Bani is three. Medashen et HaMenorah is four. The Rosh and the Regel Shemin is five. The Shtei Yadayim is six. The Oketz Regel Shosmol is seven. Achazeh v'agera is 8, Shtei Defanot is 9, the Kirbayim is 10, the Solot is 11, the Chavitin 12, and the Yain is 13. Then Hipisu, Zachah Misha Zachah, after they threw the lots, whoever was Zochet is Zochet. Amalan, Tzru Uru'u Im Giyah Zman Shechita, says to them, go up and check whether the Zman of Shechita has come. Im Higiyah, if it did come, Horu E'omer, the one who's standing up at the watch point, says, Barkai, the dawn has broken. Matya ben Shmuel Omer, here, Pnei Kol Mizrach. So the question about how Matya ben Shmuel fits into this scenario is, was Matya ben Shmuel when that individual used to go up there? So is it that the person up top did not say Barkai, but rather said Heir Pnei Kol HaMizrach, which is a later time? First possibility of how to read this is that the individual up there said Barkai, either dawn is broken, or a later time according to Matya ben Shmuel, which is Heir Pnei Kol HaMizrach. Then the person below responded and said, Achshu B'Chevron. Did it reach until Chevron? Vu Omer, and the person above says, Hain. He answers, yes. So Achshu Chevron, the Yerushalmi brings down, the Gemara and Yom also discusses the two possibilities. One possibility is that one time they made a mistake, and they actually started too early. Since they started too early, then later on they made a check that the light should reach until Chevron to be sure that it really was the morning. The other possibility is that, Laskir Yishenei Chevron. So remember those that are sleeping in Hebron, mean the Avot, the Zchut Avot. So it was done not necessarily as a practical manner, but part of the Avodah to mention it to Hebron. That's one way to read the Mishnah. The other way to read it is that in Migia, they told him to go up and look, but it says Barkai. And he says it was done. Matya ben Shmuel Omer, Ben Mizrach Hachu Hebron, Vomer, Hein. So they asked him, did it light up all the way until Hebron, the Yerkos 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 Vomer, Hein, and then he responds, yes. So it's a question of whether Achshu B'Chevron is said by the person up top, or is it said by the person below asking the question and getting a response. Depends what the question is, because if it's, hey, Heir Pnei Zrach Achshu B'Chevron, that could be the question from the person below, or it could be, hey, Neir Pnei Kol HaMizrach is what the person up top said, and Achshu B'Chevron is the question asked, and then Vomer Hein. So how you, depending on how you parse when Matya ben Shmuel, will give you different outcomes about who said what. So Amalan, Tzu, V'Viu Tle Milishkata Tleim. Then he said, okay, the time is begun, day is begun, go get the tleh that we're going to use, Mishklata Tleim. We've gone to Mishklata Tleim. It's a place where they kept the korbanot in preparation. They had a minimum of 6 tleim, vivukarim there that were checked already because they had to be taken out 4 days in advance and checked. So they go there to take a tleh from the Mishklata Tleim. Vare Mishklata Tleim nituna b'miktsoat tzvonit maravit. It was in the northwestern corner. And Arba Lishkot Ayusham. There were 4 chambers that were there. Now the chambers are actually found in the Beit HaMoked, which we discussed before. The Beit HaMoked, which is where the Kohanim had stayed overnight. The Beit HaMoked was a very large room. And that large room had these Lishkot, these chambers around the edges of it. So here the Mishnah says that the chamber of the Lishkat HaTleim was in the Sponit Maravit, in the northwestern corner of the Beit HaMoked. We've discussed the fact that some believe that the Beit HaMoked is split in half. Half in the Kodesh, half in the Chol. Then the Tzvonit, Maravit corner over here would actually be part of that which was in the Chol, the northwestern corner. So in the Beit HaMoked, you have 4 Lishkot. Achat Lishkat HaTzlaim. That is the Lishkat HaTzlaim, as we said before, that's in the northwestern corner. Then you had Lishkat Achotamot. And that's where the person who was in charge of the Chotamot was sitting. Then anybody want to bring a nesech, or had to bring the sechim, used to come to him, pay for the nesech, and he would give them a receipt, and then they would take this receipt to the individual who sat with the nesechim, and when they went with that receipt, then they would get the nesech that they were supposed to get. Then they, the Lishkat Beit HaMoked. Lishkat Beit HaMoked, that's where they kept the fire that we talked about in the Beit HaMoked. And then, Lishkat Lechem HaPanim, so there they used to bake the Lechem HaPanim. And these 4 Lishkot opened up into the Beit HaMoked, that was a large area. The Gemara in Yoma on Daf Tet Vav Amud Bet actually notes that our Mishnah is a stira to the Mishnah Midot. There's a Mishnah Midot, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Vav, that also enumerates the Lishkot that were in the Beit HaMoked. Over there again is 4 Lishkot. And there it says that the Lishkat Tlea Karban is actually in the southwestern corner, as opposed to the northwestern corner that is mentioned here in our Mishnah. In addition to that, if you follow the track of the Lishkot moving to the right, like the Gemara assumes the Mishnah does, it also turns out that the Lishkat Lechem HaPanim in the Mishnah Midot is in the southeastern corner. Whereas in our Mishnah, here in Tamid, it's in the northeastern corner. So the Gemara there resolves the stirot in 2 ways. One is, it assumes that the Lishkat Tlei HaKarban actually extended over the north and south side of the Lishkat. It was on the western side, extended over the north and south, but the majority was in the southern side. So that if you entered from the northern side, you would see it looking like it was in the north. If you entered from the south side, it would look like in the south. But if you actually looked at it carefully, It was mostly in the southern side. Therefore, both our Mishnah and the Mishnah Midot believe that it was really in the southwestern side. And then the enumerations are different in the between the two, which is the enumeration in Midot follows it around to the right, and the enumeration here in our Mishnah Tamid moves around to the left. If you do that, then you end up with the Lishkat Lechem Apanim being in the southeastern corner for both of them. Problem that you have left then is the other two Lishkot, which the Tosfot read suggests that that's okay. That according to this, the way that the Gemara in Yoma leaves out is that the Lishkat HaChotamot matched up with the Lishkat HaTvilah in Midot, and Lishkat Beit HaMoked over here matches up with the Ginzei Chashmonei, which is where they put the Avnei Mizbeach that were ruined by the Divanim in. And that's how he says that's the overlap. Tosavot asks the question, how could that be? He says that there are times that Lishkot had multiple purposes, and that's no problem. There are a series of Rishonim, including the Rambam in the Mishnah in Midot. The Mefarish here in Tamid and the Bartanura in Midot all suggest that the overlap is between the two Mishnayot, that Lishkat Beit HaMoked that's mentioned here is equivalent to the Yeridah LeTfilah, the Misibah, that circular or spiral staircase that led down to the place where they did Tfilah, and that's why they had a fire there, because that was a fire mentioned earlier in the Masechta, where they warmed up after they came up. And the Lishkat HaChotamot was the same as the place where they put the Avnei Mizbeach. And that would cause a problem, because it doesn't match up to the way the Gemara in Yoma sets it up, and therefore the Tosfot Yom Tov wants to suggest that you have to change the order in the Girsa in our Gemara between the Chotamot and the Beit HaMoked so that they should even out, although he says he was mitbayesh to actually make the change, but he thinks maybe there should be that change in the Girsa to have it even out. One thing that the Tosafot and Yoma mentions is that the Riva suggests that in our Mishnah over here, when it says the northwest, it's referencing the entire Lishka. The Beit HaMoked was in the northwestern area. And then when we're talking about the internal Lishka, the Mishnah Midot, which talks about the southwestern corner, is talking about Lishkat HaTzlaim inside of the Beit HaMoked. Tosfot rejects that answer for other reasons, but that is an interesting way to deal with the stereo between the Mishnah Midot and Mishnah Tamid. I sent out a copy with pictures so you can see all of this information. Nechnosu Lishkat HaKelim. They went into the Lishkat HaKelim. Otsiyo Sham Tishim Vishlosha Klei Kesef Klei Zav. They went into the storehouse, the Lishkat HaKelim, in order to take out all of the kelim that it would need in the avodah of that day, which included 93 kelim. And the Yerushalmi says that's connected the azkarot, the shemot Hashem that are found in the Nefim Achronim of Chagai, Zechariah, and Melachi. The names of Hashem are mentioned 93 times, therefore they had 93 kelim, although the Tosfot Yom Tov says that was a mistake because there's more than that. He leaves out Zechariah. He thinks it's Totsavir, it should be Chagai, Melachi. That there are 93 Azkarot just in Chagai Melachi. You don't need Zechariah to get to the 93 number. Ishku at the Tamid because Shal Zahav. They gave the Korban Tamid to drink from a golden goblet. Remember that we had discussed this in the previous parak. They used to give it to drink in order to make it easier for them to flay the animal. Whether they actually gave it from a golden cup or not is subject to the machloket we saw in the previous parak. Whether it's Derech Kuzma, that was just an exaggeration, or they did give him to drink from this golden goblet. So, even though it was checked from the night before, in the morning, through the torches that they brought over there, they used to check it again. Even though anything that was in this chamber was already checked, they checked it one more time before they brought it from the Korban Tamid. What's interesting here is that the perush of the mefarish is missing until the end of the perek for the remainder of these Mishnayot that we have from the other Mefarshei Mishnah, as well as the Gemara and Yoma, and then the Yerushalmi that discuss these Mishnayot. Then, those that were zocheh to go out and clear out the ashes from Mizbeach HaMinim, they used to go, but they have four utensils in their hands. Now, even though when they threw the lots, the Dishun actually came after the Shochet and the Zorek. Nevertheless, they had to precede them to go in to the inner chamber of the Eichal because they had to open the doors of the Eichal. And opening the doors of the Eichal is a prerequisite for the Korban Tamid because the Korbanot, it says, they have to be Lifnei Petach Ol Moed. So the Gemara Dash is Petach Ol Moed. It means that the Petach of the Ol Moed must be Patuach in order for the Korban Tamid to be done. Therefore, these two individuals had to precede the Shechita and the Zrika of the Korban Tamid. That's why they're going in first now. Four Kelim that they took, Yadam is a Teni. They had a basket, vakuz, and a pitcher, ushnei maftechot, and two keys. Adeni domeh letarkav. The basket was like a tarkav, something that held three kav, shel zahav. The golden basket was like a tarkav, mafzik kabayim v'chetzi. It didn't hold a full three kav, it held 2.5 kav. Bakuz in this pitcher domeh lekaiton gadol, like a large pitcher, shel zahav. Ushtei maftechot, and the two keys, echad hu sheyoreid b'amat ha-shechi, v'echad shu poteach kiven. So one of the keys opened directly, the other one opened, amat ha-shechi is a machloket about what it means. We're going to see in a second, they entered through a smaller sub-door of the larger doors of the Eichal. So someone has suggested that it means Amat HaShechi, which means the armpit, meant that they used the key. In order to use this key, there was a lock outside and a lock inside on the door. So the ways that you open up the door was, one was Kivein, you open up directly with the key that you had in your hand right there. The other one, you had to stick your arm through a hole in the door until Amat HaShechi, until the armpit, and open the lock internally. So therefore, the Amat HaShechi is describing where the lock was internally, and you have to put your arm in, and that's why it was called the Maftech of Amat HaShechi. The other possibility is that the lock, there was one lock above, and then one lock down on the ground, and therefore Amat HaShechi, one would have to extend their arm down in order to unlock on the ground. The other possibility is that there were actually two doors that they passed through. There's one door that is up front, the door that the Pishpash of the Eichal, and we know that the walls of the Eichal were thick, and then there was a top. There was actually chambers that sat in the wall because it was so wide that actually when they entered through this Pishpasha Katan, they actually entered through the town. There's another doorway they had to go through. And therefore, they opened one door here and one door at Kivein. I mean, one door they had to open from the internal side and the other door they opened directly. But it's talking about two different doors, not the same door. But that's what these two keys are for. Follow the Pishpash Hatzfoni. They came to the northern small door. Shnei pishpashim ayu lo l'shar gadol. To the grand doorway, I mean the opening to the Eichal. Remember you have the Petach Ulam, then you have the Petach Eichal. Petach Eichal is 10 amot wide. Opened up the door, they had these sub-doors. There, achad b'tzafon v'achad b'darom. One on the north side, one on the southern side. Shibar darom lo nichnas bo adam. The north, one on the southern side was never opened and never used by man. V'lav hu mefurash yedei Chezkel, and that's what it says in the Pasuk of Chezkel, shenemar. This doorway, this gateway will remain closed. Lo yipateach. It will not be opened. V'ish ayavo bo. No man should go through it. Hashem Elokei Yisrael babo. That Hashem passes through that doorway. V'yasagur. Meaning that it was left closed to indicate that Hashem doesn't need the doors to be open in order for them to enter. But rather, the doorway for men was on the northern side. The doorway for Hashem was on the southern side. Then they open up. U'patach. Talat ha-mafteach. Patach at ha-pishpash. Took the key, opened up these sub-doors, v'nichnas lehata, he goes into the ta, u'mi'ata le'echal, and from the ta he goes into le'echal, ad shemegir the shara gadol, so now he comes to the shara gadol, yegir the shara gadol, yivir et ha-nagar v'et ha-p'duchot, takes off the locking mechanism, maybe it was a bar, or a drop bar, and the p'duchot, and the locks there, p'duchu, and then it opened it up. V'lo ya shochet shochet, ad sheshomei ha-shara gadol sheniftach. And the Shochet did not check the garment to meet until the door or the gates of the Eichal were opened because of what we said before, because of the fact that you can't check the Korban Tamid until Petach Omoed, until the Omoed is opened up. Again, we're describing here, and what we saw earlier in the Masechta, the Pishpash was a sub-door to the larger doors. There are those that explain it. What it sounds like from this Mishnah is it was actually a side door that entered into a Ta, into a chamber, and then that chamber entered into the Eichal, not going directly through these doors, not through the actual sub door on the doors that they were the sub doors. Like you think about it in the grand palaces where they have these massive doors and they have a smaller door that's embedded in it. That's how we described it before. That's one possibility with the Pishpash is. The other possibility is that these were chambers to the sides of the doors of Eichal. And there was a doorway into those chambers and then the chambers had a doorway into the Eichal. So that's the other possibility of how to describe what happened here. Again, he opened the doors from the internal side. Once they opened the doors from the internal side, then they began the shechita of the Korban Tamid. Over here, they go into a digression, which is, Yericho Ayushamim. They used to hear, and Yericho Kol Shar Gadol Sheniftach. You used to hear the doors as they opened to the Eichal. It made so much noise that they heard that sound all the way to Yericho. And now they give us a whole number of items that were heard until Yericho. Yericho Ayushamim Kol Magrefa. And you recall they also used to hear the call of the magrifa, which is an instrument in the Mikdash. Why it was called the magrifa? Maybe it looked a little bit like the magrifa, like a shovel or a pan. They also used to hear, Mirichol Ayushamim, call Ben Arza, Makish B'Tzalzal. They used to also hear in Yerichol the noise or the sound of the cymbals being crashed by Ben Arza. They also heard the sound of the flute playing in Yerichol. Yerichol Yushumim called Gvinei Cruz. They also used to hear the voice of Gvinei Cruz. He was either the one who called in the morning, Amdu Kohanim, Amdu, to wake up the Kohanim, the clapper, or possibly the person who called out when they were asking about Barkai. That was his job in the Mikdash. We saw this earlier, that when the person who was doing the Chumat HaDeshin went to the Kiyor, the other Kohanim knew he was at the Kiyor when they heard the noise of the pulley system that Ben Katin, the Kohen Gadol, had put in place in order that there wouldn't be a problem of lina with the water, so it submerged the water back into its source. When they used to raise that pulley system, it used to make noise every Shinto Yerichol. Yerichol Yushumim Kol Shir. They used to hear the song of the Levim all the way to Yerichol. And Yerichol Yushumim Kol Shofar. The shofar, the trumpets that were blown in the Mikdash to 21 each day, along with the Karbanot, those Kol Shofar were heard all the way to Yerichol. Some say even the voice of the Kohen Gadol, when he mentioned the shame on Yom HaKippurim, the shame in Furash, they heard it all the way until Yerichol. Some say that doesn't mean the shame of Furash, but rather the response of the Am and the Kohanim, which is the Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto. That's what they heard all the way until Yerichol. In Yerichol, they used to smell the pitum haktoret, the wafting smells of the ktoret that was brought on his bath. It wafted all the way until Yerichol, they smelled it over there. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Diglai, izim ayu le'aba ba'arei hamichvar. My father had goats that were in Arei Michvar, which is possibly in Eber Yardain, or somewhere in the area of Yerichol. Vayu mit atshot mireach pitum haktoret. They used to sneeze when they smelled the Reach HaKtoret, I mean, that's how far it reached. So now, it's very interesting that Yerichol is the centerpiece of hearing something. Could be that they just looked at it as being something very far away. Yerichol was the eastern border, right by the Yardain, Yerushalayim, being on the other side of Midbar Yehuda. That might have just been a way to express a large distance. Although maybe there's some significance to Yerichol being mentioned over here, which is the Knisa Laaretz took place through Yerichol, and that the purpose of entering Eretz Yisrael through, when they came into Yerichol and the miracles that Hashem performed there, that we should remember that the purpose of entering Eretz Yisrael is for the Avodat Hashem and the Avodah and the Mikdash. Right? So the other thing is the Medrash says that when they entered Eretz Yisrael, Yerichol was designated to be unsettled. And later on, they said whoever's chelek was taken for the Mikdash would get Yerichol as the replacement. There are a number of difficulties with that, including the fact that Yoshua curses anybody who rebuilds Yerichol. And when Chiel goes ahead later on in Melachim and rebuilds the city, Yoshua's curse comes true, that as he puts down the foundations, his eldest son dies, and when he finishes the city, that his youngest son dies. So it was an area that was cursed. We know that later periods it was settled, Yerichol, or the areas around Yerichol were settled. But anyway, we see here from this Mishnah that there is a certain amount of significance to Yerichol and its kesher to Yerushalayim. Next is Mish Zachah B'Tamid, the one who was Zochet HaTamid Moshchol V'Leich B'Beit HaMitbechayim. This is the one who's Zochet, the first Kohen, whether he's the Shochet or the Zorek, depending on what we said before. He goes and takes the out of the Lishkat HaTzlaim and takes it over to the Beit HaMitbechayim. Beit HaMitbechayim are found north of the Mizbeach. So Mish Zachah B'Avarim Ochim Imo, those that were Zochet, the Kohenim after him, go along with him. Beit HaMitbechayim, it's one of the Mizbeach, it's the north side of the Mizbeach, v'alav chet amudim. There were eight pillars there, ninasim, very low, midget pillars. There were very low, I guess, stubs or trunks almost of pillars made out of stone. Rivaim shel erez al gabehem, and they had these square, probably more rectangular cedar, made out of cedar, al gabehem. V'ankolol shel barzel kuvin behem, there were hooks of metal on them. The gimel starim l'chol echad v'had, and there were three levels or rows of hooks on them. Sheben tolin umafshitin al shulchanot shel shayis. Sheben tolin umafshitin. From them they used to hang it up and be mafshit to flay the animal. Al shulchanot shel shayis sheben amudim. That they did on the tables of marble that were between the amudim. So here there's a machloket about these tables. There are other tables, not directly between the amudim, but further along on that northern side of the Mizbeach. On those tables they used to take out the innards of the animal. They used to keep the innards of the animal there to keep them cool so they would not rot. So the question is if these are the same shulchanot or different shulchanot. Are these shulchanot that sat literally between the amudim here and they're not the same shulchanot? Or is it referencing those shulchanot, meaning they took them off over to those shulchanot? As regards to the three rows of hooks, Some want to suggest that it has to do with the different animals that are brought in the Mikdash. You have a keves, which is the smallest animal. You have an ayo, which is slightly bigger than a para, which is the biggest. So each row was, the lowest row was for the keves, the middle row for the ayo, and the top row for the para, depending on the size of the animal. Others want to suggest that it had hooks on three sides. The boards were actually, they had a triangular form to these boards, and they had hooks on three sides. That's on the north, south, and eastern sides of these boards. They had hooks, but not on the western side, because if you put hooks on the western side, whoever is working on the western side would have his back to the Kodesh HaKodeshim, so therefore they didn't have it on the western side. So those are two different ways to explain these three rows of hooks that were there. Then, Mishu Zachah B'dishum Mizbeach B'nimi Nichnas, Natala Tateni, the one who was Zochah in the Dishim Mizbeach B'nimi, went in and took in the basket, V'nicho Lefanav, and he placed it down over there, V'yokhufein V'notein L'tocho, cleared it off with his fist. He used to grab the ashes off the top of the Mizbeach. V'yokhufein, he grabs it with his fist, clears off the top of the Mizbeach, and he places it into the teni, the basket's there. Then, V'achrona, when he got down to the point where he couldn't grab it anymore, Kibet et Hashar L'tocho, he takes a brush or a sweeper, and he sweeps the rest into the basket. V'nicho V'yatza, puts it there, and he leaves. Misha Zachah B'dishon Abnorah, the one who was Zocheh with the clearing out of the Norah, Nichnas, Matzah Beit Neirot, Mariviot, or Mizrachiot, we'll talk about this in a second, found two light candles that were still lit, Dokim, Medashin at the Shire, the other five he does, U'miniyachelu Dokim Bimkoman, he leaves them lit in place. This is what we call the Chamesha Neirot. This is the five Neirot. They split it up into five Neirot and two Neirot. That's because the Gemara Dashin's Baboker, Baboker, Meitivot, and Neirot. In the morning, when they do a Tavata Neirot, they say, split it up. Give a Boker Lezeh, Boker Lezeh. You have to give a Boker for the five Neirot and a Boker for the two Neirot. So they did them separately, straddling the Korban Tamid. Five before and then the two afterwards. I'll go back to all this in a second. V'achakach, Matzan, Shekabub, those two wicks were blown out. He clears them out. U'madlikan min adokim, he lights some of those that were lit. V'achar m'kadashin adashar, and then he clears out the other five. V'ivin ha'ita lefaneh menorah, there was a step stool in front of the menorah, made out of stone, u'vagim malot, three stairs. Shalach kohen omei, the meitiv et neirot, because the menorah was pretty high, it was 18 tefachim high. Therefore he had to climb up in the step stool to work on it. And he leaves the pitcher that he brought in to fill in with the ashes. He leaves it there on the second stair because he's going to have to come back in to do the other two Neirot. Right now what I want to go over is there's actually a number of issues here with the Menorah. The discussion of the Menorah involves, number one, what was the direction of the Menorah? It's Machloket Tanaim as to whether the Menorah laid north-south or laid east-west. If it laid north-south, then the western candle, the Ner HaMaravi, was the center Ner, because that was the one that faced the Ma'arav. The remainder of the candles faced in towards the Ner HaMaravi. The other possibility is that it laid east-west. Now, if it laid east-west, the Ner HaMaravi is the second Ner from the eastern side, because that's one Ner before it. The one after that is Maravi, to the first one. So Ner HaMaravi is not the furthest west, but rather the second one from the eastern side. And that's what it mentions over here, that the two candles, either on the western side, or they were called really the Mizrachiot. They're really the eastern candles, but they are the Ner HaMaravi, which is counted there. Machloket had a paskin as well. The Rambam actually paskins that the menorah laid north-south, whereas there are other Rishonim that believe it laid east-west. Of course, that'll make a difference as to which one is the Ner HaMaravi that was, according to the Gemara in Yoma, Mudlak, until the time of Rav Shimon HaGadol, was always a lit, and they never had to clean it out. It was a miracle that it had the same amount of oil as all the other candles and never blew out. The other machloket is between Rambam and the Rashi and other Rishonim. The Rambam believes that the menorah was lit all the time. It was lit in the morning and at night, and it was lit constantly. That's why it's tamid. Rashi believes tamid does not necessarily mean constantly, but frequency, that it happens every day. And therefore, Rashi believes here they just cleaned out the candles. They will not light these candles until the afternoon. So according to the Rambam over here, where they cleared out the five, they also relit that five. And then they left the other two, and then later they'll come back and clean them out and light those two again. So according to Rashi, they cleaned out the five, they kept the two alight, and then they cleaned out the two later on. They only lit them again, or properly lit them, in the afternoon, because the only requirement is to have the menorah lit overnight. Okay, we'll stop over here.